Good morning. We'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text this morning comes from chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place, once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Why don't we follow Old Testament ceremonial laws? Well, I had a friend of mine that was convinced that we don't follow the Bible literally, because we don't follow Old Testament regulations and laws. He also was convinced that the Old Testament and the New Testament contradict each other. But this thinking comes from a lack of knowledge about what that Old Covenant meant and what it means to us, the significance of those promises. He didn't understand the new relationship that the coming of Christ has brought for you and I. The relationship of the Old Testament believer with God was, on the one hand, of the same faith that you and I have in our Savior. But on the other hand, the relationship with that Savior is different in that for the Old Testament people, they believed in the promises and they saw the symbols, whereas you and I have a relationship through the fulfillment and through the substance. The new relationship that we have was prophesied by Jeremiah and quoted here in Hebrews in chapter 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. And then the writer to the Hebrews goes on to comment in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Christ has fulfilled the old covenant, and we're now under a new covenant, where we find the law written on our hearts, not on tablets of stone. So these Old Testament shadows of things to come are no longer necessary, because we have that great high priest who offered himself once for all. Verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And the word here that we read, translated redemption, could be used in a commercial sense to refer to something bought back, something paid for a price, such as a slave. Now, the price that had to be paid was for sin. A price had to be paid for those wicked things that you and I have done against our God. A price had to be paid for what verse 14 calls dead works. Those dead works that separate us from our God. But Jesus has bought you back from all of those specific sins. And he made that great payment for you, of which he himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Now our text here calls this an eternal redemption. It doesn't fall short of any sin that you've committed, and it doesn't expire. It reaches as far back as Adam, and it stretches all the way forward to the last day. Sometimes in our life, we feel like we've committed some specific sin that we think could not be fully paid for. There must be something that we need to do to make up for it, to make up for that awful thing that we've done to our God. But you can be assured here that the sin is paid once for all. You don't need to keep beating yourself down for something that you've already repented for. Nor do you need to think that by changing your way you're going to make up for it. Now I'm going to go forth, I'm not going to do this thing anymore, and that's where I'll receive my forgiveness. But rather, it's looking to Christ that gives us the assurance of forgiveness. It's looking to that eternal redemption, that atonement that goes on forever, that atonement for the one sin that has been paid for all eternity. So when you stand before God on the final day, you know that Jesus Christ has shown himself before the Father in your place, so you don't have to fear. Then our text goes on to compare those Old Testament sacrifices, saying, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" This was not just a slaying of any animal. This wasn't an animal that had to be brought to the altar by the priest, but it was the perfect lamb that brought himself freely and willingly. So the coming of Christ brings us this sure and certain foundation in the new covenant. We see the perfect fulfillment of all the promises that God's made to his people. We can see that this unblemished lamb has kept himself perfect in every way for everything that you and I have not. So then the blood of this lamb washes you clean for eternity. That means peace with your conscience and peace with your God. And then finally, verse 15. "And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Amen. We'll close then by singing hymn 156, verses 1 and 2, 156, stanzas 1 and 2.